Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and now Boston, Massachusetts. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash, which means that you can now compete with any offer once you have that pre-purchase commitment, only available through Hunt Mortgage. 633-3700 for personalized, customized, knock-your-socks-off service, and check out that low-rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first-ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, all the way across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. Doesn't have to be ours. And the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, on any property available anywhere in our markets we serve. The 631-4800 number is for Western New York. We have a separate number for each of the other markets, but for those listening, that will cover most of the territory. Remember, it's all automatic. It's just that fast. It's faster than going to your computer, even. You don't have to go up on Zillow or anyplace else. Just go to 631-4800 and do as I just said. And it's very interesting. You drive by a house today and you see real estate for sale signs are a mishmash of information. There's photos. There's 9 phone numbers. There's dot-coms all over the thing, and it's very difficult as you're driving by at 20 or 30 or 40 miles an hour to get that information. So just write this number down, 631-4800, and just get the street number of the house you want. And you can remember what street it's on. You're all set. That's all you need for the Hunt Hotline. We have a very active real estate market right now. It's a very interesting time, and that's going to be the focus of our show today as it intersects, the real estate market intersects with the financial markets, which is always the case, as we've talked about many times on this show. But in particular today, because we've got a certain set of circumstances going on today that may be fairly unique in recent times, perhaps as far as 24 or 25 or even 30 years of history. And to help me with that conversation today, I have in the studio with me Peter Ahrens, who is a business development manager at Hunt Real Estate Corporation. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
But before we go any farther, Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We are live on WBEN 930 AM. If you'd like to participate in our show this morning, call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236. If you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile, those are all free calls. You can even text us at, what is our 30930. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting that. So text us, and we've had several texts in the last few weeks, and I appreciate those if you'd like to be a little anonymous. Anyway, we have a special show for you today. As I introduced earlier, Peter Ahrens is in the studio with me to discuss something about his background prior to coming into the real estate business, as well as what's going on in the real estate business today, which has everything to do with the financial markets today. So this morning, I just heard, as I was coming into the office here, that we've had the longest winning streak in the markets in 24 years.
Yeah, 9 weeks.
As of yesterday, which is huge, and that we are near all-time highs. We're not there yet. That was end of last January. But we're in a very interesting time right now, because on top of that evidence, earlier in the week, which caused the market to take a dip, there was released the apparent fact that the number of housing unit sales were lower than expected at 4.94 million versus the approximately 5 million that they expected, which is down from the all-time high of 6 million. That's not even an all-time high. That was relatively consistent for many years. And so this is an interesting time, and we've talked about this a lot inside our company and with others around the country, that some of this has to do with the lack of inventory in the market today. But let's go back to the financial markets. What is your take on things, Peter, as you look from your background in the financial markets? What's your take on what's really going on, and what are the dynamics affecting today's financial markets and hence the real estate market?
Yeah, that's a great question, Peter. And good morning, everyone. When you take a look at the financial markets, first and foremost, the markets do not like uncertainty. And if you take a look at the last year's performance, you can really begin to see a dip in September. And at that point, if you remember, we had the beginning of the saber rattling with trade talks with not only just our neighbors in Mexico and in Canada, but the tough talk from Trump relative to China. And you could really begin to see that fall off in October. So you have some geopolitical things going on. In addition to that, you've got the Fed funds and what Powell and the Fed have been doing over the last, really since December of 2015, raising rates nine times since 2015. And incidentally, to go back to
eight straight quarters, which was perhaps more significant.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, it's really a confluence of things in the sense that you've got uncertainty relative to trade. And, you know, we know from history that, you know, trade wars aren't good for anybody. You've got the uncertainty of what the Fed was going to do. And they came out with what they'd say hawkish commentary in December when they raised rates the last time. Part of this whole Great Recession, the Fed enacted what they called quantitative easing, and they essentially bought bonds. So they were buying bonds.
Bought our U.S. bonds.
Yes, bought the U.S. bonds. And, you know, there's an inverse relationship. So as the price of bonds go up, the yield goes down. So as part of buying these bonds, they were able to artificially lower the yield, the cost of funds, things of that nature. They've begun to unwind. It's quantitative easing now being unwound. And as a result, in part of their statement—
Which means they're shrinking the balance sheet.
That's exactly right. So the Fed's reducing their balance sheet. So they're selling those bonds back into the market. So as there's more bonds available, just the basic law of supply and demand, more bonds available, the lower the price, the higher the yield. And Powell in his December statement intimated that they were going to put that program on autopilot, which was not taken well by the markets. And I think there was some concern relative to that rate hike in December, which precipitated quite a drop. Interesting fact is Les Janet Yellen, there is always one market correction when a new Fed chair takes the helm. If everybody could recall, in January, Powell came out with a lot more of a dovish statement. He walked back his very hawkish statement in December, and markets responded very positively and continue to respond. What you also see in the markets, why we're really starting to see some appreciation. Trump has dialed back his rhetoric. In fact, 2 days ago, which really helped the market take off a bit more, was, you know, March 1st is not a deadline. At the end of the day, China wants a deal. We want a deal. China can't afford at their debt to GDP is three times. Putting that in perspective here in the U.S., we're closing in on one times debt. Government debt to our GDP, gross domestic product, they're three times. So everybody wants a deal. It's just what is the deal going to be? But in the interim, there's been a lot of disruption.
And in the background regarding China, where they had kind of a free rein for a long time, along with perhaps India, of being the low-cost provider of labor in the world, you've got countries like Vietnam, Korea, even Taiwan, God forbid, and other Malaysia, where you've got a strong labor supply at a low cost. And so companies are actually scaling back inside China itself and moving to other countries, particularly in light of what's going on regarding trade right now. But it's a mixed bag, and it's not the vacuum that it used to be, in my opinion.
No, certainly there's some short-term pain, but I think Trump is playing the longer game, and there's going to be some short-term pain. But I believe once you see that China deal put together, you know, things will loosen up, and I think we'll continue to see the market continue to edge higher.
And we have certain circumstances that I think are contributing to the low volume of sales in our country today. Number one, people are feeling better about their own future, given the fact that our unemployment is the lowest it's been in 30 years or something like that. There's many job openings, so that people who are looking to advance themselves have that opportunity today. And it's interesting, some of the companies are saying that the hardest thing to fill is the entry-level positions, which is, I think, a great opportunity for youth today.
Oh, no question.
In time, and also a great opportunity for educational institutions to match what the labor market is demanding. And I think this bodes well, and we've talked on the show many times about the workforce development programs in our area and how that can help shape our future in this community and all across upstate, which is extremely important given the competitive position of New York State vis-a-vis other states, which we talked about last week with Tom Kacharski from the Invest Buffalo Niagara organization. But back to our real estate world, which is, I want to bring you back to that. How do you assess the data that's coming out that shows kind of real pressure on unit sales right now in the whole country, and we're experiencing that here too.
Oh, no question about that. And I think it's a positive story. You listen to Bloomberg or CNBC, and I think they just take a look at the macro number. Now, in January, we reached the low since November 2015. December 2015, the Fed began to hike rates. And I think it's a positive story in the sense that I don't think it's a macroeconomic issue. I think when you take a look at what's going on out there, you know, people, there's a number of factors. One, and we see this and we hear this every day, people are afraid to list their home because they may be able to find a home that they want, but all last summer and even into the winter, which has been very strong, is multiple offers. So they're afraid to list their home because they don't want to be homeless, you know, 2-3 months later. You know, in addition to that, I think that's the overarching fact. When you look at the numbers, for example, our year over year in the Western New York market, Buffalo, Niagara, our new listings are up 8.6%. That tells me that there are people now coming off the sidelines as our average price has increased steadily, and people are starting to come off the sidelines to look creatively to alternatives. I think if we were going into a recession or something along those lines, you would see a greater inventory, and you'd see home prices coming down. It's quite contrary. It's prices are strong every month, both nationally and locally. Our prices are going up, but it's just an inventory issue.
To that inventory issue, there are several factors, and we've discussed many times that influence it. One of them is just the where will I go factor. If I sell my house, you know, we've lived here 27 years. If I sell my house, where am I going to go? So that's definitely a factor. The other factor, among others, is kind of the shock factor that a lot of people have when they say, well, gee, I'd like to downsize from this big house that I've got, and can I get something and maybe put a few bucks in my pocket, maybe make a down payment on a house in Florida or something like that, and want to be able to get a smaller house for less money and get rid of this big house? And what they find out is that to get a smaller house, particularly if it's new, they might be paying 50 or 75% more for much less square footage. So we've also got the issue, particularly in this kind of marketplace where our average sale price is relatively low compared to the rest of the country. We've got the issue that it's difficult to bring a brand new house onto the market competitively. So you've got to really, really want one. And so that keeps our inventory of new houses down, which doesn't even begin to make up for the fact or for the number of houses that leave the inventory through destruction or just aging out or whatever the case might be. And so we've got a bit of I guess kind of an uncomfortable cross section of circumstances here.
Well, we do, and to pick up on that point, there's a couple points. Lawrence Yun, the economist for the National Association of Realtors, or NAR, in January commented that over the last 6 months nationally, inventories are starting to slowly pick up. But one of the big factors too is the complexity and, you know, taking that shovel-ready space and developing a new development and the amount of red tape that it in the length of time. There's capital that needs to be tied up in purchasing the land, you know, securing the goods to build the homes or the buildings, and that's very expensive right now, especially as interest rates begin to creep up. But you know, to that point as well, nationally, you know, 16% of all homes, kind of over the last few years, 16, 17, it kind of vacillates a bit, are bought up by investors. And we were talking about this last week in your office, where you've got a Blackstone, or you get these institutions that are scooping these properties up. And when you take a look at it, 16% is a meaningful number, because it's not a traditional mom and dad buy a home for the kids, then they have another child and they want to purchase a larger home with a bigger backyard, maybe a swimming pool. But these homes are off the market for a long period of time, and they're portfolioed.
Well, it's interesting. I was with the executive from one of the companies that does that. I won't mention the name of the company, but they raised over $1 billion last July just to buy houses. And interestingly, she told me just yesterday that they were divesting a group of a whole collection of houses in Florida, but they're not being sold to a family. They're being sold to another investor group.
Yep.
So that they don't get recycled. They don't come into the market. It's just a way for that company to get liquidity to go out and buy more houses. And interestingly, what she said was a little surprising to me, but it shouldn't be. She said that they're also buying debt. They're buying mortgages that are in trouble, in blocks from banks, and then what they do then is go and negotiate with the
current owner,
the owner, and it's a most interesting thing, and so they'll buy, and those houses will then come off the market, and I said to her, you know, I've been using your company as an example in discussions with our people. And I tell them once your company buys a house, for all their purposes, might as well not be there anymore. And so if there's one house out of 10 on a block, that's just not there anymore. And she said, watch out for the other nine,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting. So the appetite is very strong to go into to make this a renter nation, which I think would be a disaster. Now, in spite of all of that, if you look at the percentage of home ownership, it has stayed almost at historic highs, somewhere 64% in that range, which is good news, because I think there's a strong, virulent force in our society that says, I want to own a home, and I want to make that investment, and I don't want to rent. Having said that, you know, we just had a study yesterday at a meeting I was at on Generation Z, which is the youngest cohort, kids that are now in high school and entering college, and it's most interesting to hear the broad generalities about that generation, which I never believe, because I think fundamentally it changes. Look at the millennials, for example. They were said they're going to be renters. They're not. It's going to take longer to, you know, get married and have kids, which may or may not be true, but certainly when they do get married or they find a life partner, they want to own a home, and they want a piece of the action, because they know that it's one of the greatest ways for them to be able to save and really develop some wealth, which many people don't have the opportunity to do, say, for example, through equities.
No, absolutely. And they are coming online. And unlike perhaps the boomer generation that was known as kind of free love and enjoy the day, this cohort grew up 9/11, the Great Recession. They saw what happened to the stock market. They saw what happened to jobs, and they're coming to the market, and they're better prepared. This is probably one of the first generations who actually value savings accounts more than putting the money into the stock market. So they're coming to the market prepared,
which is a very important fact. As one of the speakers yesterday at a meeting I was at said, that her high school daughter was not spending her allowance, that she'd actually started a retirement fund as a sophomore in high school. I mean, this is nuts. I'd never heard of such a thing. But having said all that, 50% of the people that are listening to this show or in society in general don't own one share of anything. So we've got, I think there's a, and this goes to the whole wealth divide in this country, which is, I don't think, ever going to be corrected, at least not in any kind of without a revolution in this country, which God forbid. At the same time, I think it's important that we at a show like this and other shows, other means of communication with the public, try to educate people on the opportunities that exist within our world, real estate, but also through other investment vehicles.
Oh, absolutely. It's crucial. It truly is.
So we've got a situation, and we'll come back after the break in just a second and discuss this. But we've got a situation here that we want to educate you a little bit on, our listeners, regarding the market conditions right here in Western New York and what's really going on. We have tended to highlight the development issues, those that are making a difference in that world. But I think it's important for us to look at the general market, which we'll take a look at after these very important messages from our house to yours.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And look for an all-new HuntRealEstate.com in the upcoming months. We're busy at work building that right now, and it's truly a very interesting project, and I think it will make your life a lot easier when it comes to real estate. But right now, you can go to HuntRealEstate.com, and you can find three algorithms, not just one like you might find at a place called Zillow. You're going to find three, but the Zillow algorithm is on our website, so you don't need to go to Zillow, and it will give you the valuation, their algorithm for evaluation for any property, yours or any other house you might want to take a look at. And if you're driving by and you see any house, whether it's for sale or not, and you just want to take a look at what it might be worth, go to huntrealestate.com and you'll get all the information you need there, as well as a complete inventory of homes that are available now here in our market all across upstate, and even through a link out to Phoenix, Arizona. And along with all the houses, you'll find a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and for more information about our exclusive program that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before but live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. And also ask about our pre-purchase commitment, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, which allows you to enter the market effectively with cash, and even our warm home loan, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And if you just want to ask any question about real estate or what's going on in the market itself, call us at 633-9400. That's the Hunt Customer Service Center. One of our customer service reps will instantly direct you to the appropriate professional for your particular needs, whether you're buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. It's the only one of its kind in the industry. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. We give you the advantage of the market, but give you an underlying fail-safe. That's the Seller Security Plan, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. You can reach them at one of many of our open houses this weekend. Pick one, stop in, and ask about the Seller Security Plan. I'm in the studio today with Peter Ahrens. Mr. Ahrens is a business development manager at Hunt Real Estate, and we've been talking about the economy and the effect of that economy on the housing market and vice versa, frankly. It's said, Peter, that the housing market leads us into recessions and leads us out of recessions. And I think that's why the market took a little dip on Thursday, in particular, when the announcement was made about various agencies or institutions that issued data on housing. And the one that issued its data on Thursday indicated a downward trend in overall unit sales in this country. Now, when we were talking about this during the break, and I want you to elaborate on this a little bit, I guess it's good information to get a look at the nationwide market, but the real estate market is a street-by-street, house-by-house market, and that's because of the very nature of real estate, which is different than almost any other product, and that is that real estate is one of three products that I'm aware of that, where you cannot be required to accept a substitute. In other words, if you buy a house and all of a sudden that something happens and you say, I want another one just like it, like a pair of pants or a sweater or something like that, you can't be required, even if there was a house that was just like it two doors away, exactly like it, you could not be required to accept it as a substitute because it's on a different piece of land. And that's one of the very unique things, among the very unique things about real estate. So we've got these circumstances in the marketplace today that make it effectively a hyper, and it's always been a hyper-local market condition. So what's going on here relative to, let's say, the national market? The national market, say, if their predictions of sales or their analysis of a rolling 12-month basis or an annualized basis, they're looking at 4.94 units versus a prediction of 5 million units. Are we better or worse than the national market?
Well, I think, one of the things that really has helped Western New York is the renaissance we've gone through over the last decade. There are a lot of good things going on, new companies coming into play, people who a decade ago would have left Buffalo, would have graduated college, would have left Buffalo, are now choosing to stay because there's unique opportunities in technology and in manufacturing. When you take a look at our year-over-year listings in the Buffalo Niagara market, they're up 8.6%. With that said, pending sales for January were down 2.7%, and in January, closed sales were off 21.6%. But the real silver lining here is going back to that supply and demand discussion we had earlier in the show. Our average sales price for a home in Western New York is $161,000. It's up 1.3% year on year. The real challenge, as I see it and you see it, is the supply of inventory. But our supply is up 4%. Compared to a national increase of 3.4%. Real estate hasn't stopped. The days on the market for January and even into December for the average home was 44 versus the prior year, which was 49. And nationally, the days on the market are 49. So when you take a look at local real estate, I think we've got a very strong story, a bullish story. But it always comes back to that basic fundamental economic 101, the law of supply and demand. Right now we have very low supply and you do have that demand. So when you look at the big story, is we've got 8.6% growth in listings, things are going to start loosening up a bit. And hopefully those sellers that were on the sidelines that were concerned about where am I going to live? Because I know I'm going to sell my house. Where am I going to move? We'll loosen up a bit. In addition, when you work with one of our real estate professionals, there are different items and addendums you can put into contracts, such as a reverse contingency if you don't find the home of your dreams. So there's a solution to every problem. But I see real estate in Western New York remaining strong in through the rest of this year. There's no question about it, because I think rates are steadying. It's going to steady out or maybe even drop a bit. And that's going to only inure to the benefit of the affordability of that home. For first-time home buyers that represent about 23% of the market, to the mom and pops that are looking to downsize and ride out their retirement years in a condominium or someplace very comfortable.
Interestingly, I had a long conversation yesterday with one of the people in the industry that I respect greatly on a national basis, and we were talking about the impact of technology on our industry from a consumer perspective as well as from a real estate professional perspective. And one of the things that he was discussing was how the consumer gets to our product. To the point you were making about the more availability of homes, I'm a buyer now. How do I start that process? What do I do? It used to be in the old days that you maybe read the paper, you looked at the ads and, this thing called the Home Finder, now it's called something else. And you drove around neighborhoods and you looked around what you wanted to do. People are still driving around neighborhoods, and that's still one of the patterns. But more often than not, like 90%+ of the time, they say, well, gee, what's for sale in, Cheektowaga? So they go to one of the national websites, which is almost always where people are beginning today. It used to be they went to local websites. Now they're going to national websites. They go to a Zillow and they say, a three-bedroom house in Cheektowaga. And all of a sudden, up they pop. And even though the data might not be necessarily terribly accurate, that becomes their point of reference. And then, only then, might they contact a real estate agent, only to get more information. But there's so much information available to them right then and there, they're much more likely to get in their car and perhaps drive out to that neighborhood and look at the house from the outside, and maybe then they might call. So the recipient of that call, the real estate professional, they might appear to call from a sign, but the real process might have begun by looking at something online. And the detail that's available to them online is really remarkable. And because of that, I think there's real pressure on our industry to kind of change the way they behave as a professional and what they actually do for a customer. How do you see that from your perspective?
There's no question. And certainly your years in the market, you've seen a lot of changes. According to the National Association of Realtors, or NAR, 94% of the home buyers find their home online, just as you talked about that process. In trying to cut that realtor out of the equation, it's a mistake, because when you go to these websites, valuing a home is both an art and a science. And to look at something on a Zillow or Realtor.com and it gives you one value, and maybe it's a for sale by owner, you might be overpaying. You don't know if you're overpaying. In some of the tools we have at Hunt, which have really helped our sellers and buyers better understand the market. The one tool in particular is our buy side application, which you talked a little bit about earlier, where you can start with three different CMAs or what the house is worth. But when you work with a Hunt realtor, they sit down with you and they can you can say, I want to be in 14225, or I like this street, and I saw this house. And the tool buy side has a heat map. So if you are working with a realtor, both either on the sell side or you're looking to buy your first dream home, you can get a good sense of how hot that market is and what should you be paying.
We'll kind of go back and talk more about that, because I think we're now getting into a little bit of the nitty-gritty, the cross-section of the market conditions themselves with available inventory and what that might mean for consumers. And we'll be back with more from our house cheers after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the AlamoHuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and you've heard during the breaks from Linda Malaya, the president of Hunt Mortgage. And I can assure you that there's no one or no institution in the mortgage lending business that's more knowledgeable than Linda and the people at Hunt Mortgage. I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700. I'm in the studio today with Peter Ahrens. Mr. Ahrens is the business development manager at Hunt Real Estate Corporation. And we've been talking about market conditions and generally in the country today and how the economy has affected those or how they have affected the economy. And then we've looked a little bit at the local market in terms of trends. And Peter gave us some statistics on the trends in the market locally. And this is the number one question I get from people as I'm wandering around this community, and that is, how's the market? And if we were, let's start there in the last segment here, Peter, because that's a very, I mean, there's no simple answer to that. Even people ask me that, they go, you guys must be doing really, really great because all this good stuff's going on in the market. And I remind them that I certainly hope so. You know, I think that's maybe generally true for many of our people and many of our locations, but not all, because it's and I'm not saying it's bad someplace else and really good someplace yet again, but the market's hyper local, as we talked about in the last segment. Having said that, people want to be reassured that the overall market conditions are relatively strong before they jump into the market. And the statistics that you provided earlier may provide some people with reassurance and may not. For example, the average sale price in Buffalo, Niagara being $161,000, and that's up 1.3%. Okay, that's, I suppose, all things being equal, if I bought a house a year ago for 161 minus 1.3%, I would have that kind of return. But I'd say, well, gee, that's not so good compared to the rest of the world. But it is, because a year ago in the market, we were higher than we are today. So maybe it wasn't so bad. So there's all kinds of things, and everybody's always second guessing themselves. But fundamentally, if you look at a real estate investment only as a financial investment, it may be the wrong way to look at it. How do you look at all that?
I can't agree with you more, because there's a lot of different types of real estate ownership and why you get involved with something. If you're looking at your family home where you're going to raise the kids, I think trying to look at your home as a long-term investment, if you're looking at a 10, a 15-year time horizon, you want to see appreciation and value, no question about it. Because then when you walk out of that home, you've built up equity both through the growth of the market, but also if you paid down principal from your mortgage, if you took a mortgage. But to look at real estate, as your family home for a 2-year period, let's say you're an executive working at XYZ company and looking to get a 10-15% return, no, it's absolutely false. There's certainly opportunities in the marketplace. Neighborhoods get hot. We saw that in the West Side. Shenango Street. I walked Shenango Street with one of the area leaders about a decade ago when these homes were going for $20,000-$25,000, and our agents, our professionals in the Met office are listing these homes now for $200,000. So those pockets exist, but on balance, you're not going to find that appreciation if you're looking at your residence as a short-term investment.
It's interesting. You refer to what is generally considered urban pioneering around the country. And it, there's a leap of faith that people take when they buy a house for whatever, and then hope that the neighborhood around them will also catch on and become a cool place to be. And there's so many factors that influence value in real estate, which is what we are now focused on in our education of our real estate professionals, that valuation is not only an algorithm. In other words, there's market data out there that a technology system can crunch to arrive at a value for property. What that boils down to in almost all cases, or what it really adds, the only thing that they can go by is a price and a square footage and a few other factors that they mix into it. But essentially what it comes down to is a value per square foot, and that's what the system will spit out. But there's a whole collection of principles and theories around valuation that will affect that number up or down based upon the individual characteristics of that particular home, as well as what might be going on at the corner or around the corner or a block away, which no algorithm can predict. And this is the rationale for consultation with a professional when you're on that side of the equation, the sell side. From the buy side, it's equally true. I look at a house, I like it, my emotion tells me this is the house for me and my family, and I get all excited. And then I say, well, what do you think I should offer on this house, Peter, to my real estate professional? And that's kind of the critical moment, I think, in the relationship, because in my mind, it's the obligation of the professional at that point in time to bring into that picture all those principles, all those theories, and how they relate to that specific property relative to everything that's going on around it. What I see in our business, though, is that it doesn't really matter from a cost perspective or an investment perspective from the customer whether that agent has had one day experience or that he or she is a true real estate professional that has many years of experience and can bring those theories into effect. How do you then speak to, in your position, how do you speak to the real estate professional, him or herself, as they look at the environment that they go into from a business perspective to be able to provide the right advice to buyers and sellers?
Well, there's a lot of, as you just mentioned, there are a lot of factors. In my conversations with real estate professionals, within our firm as well as outside firms, what's really critical is training. And, if you're not learning, picking something up every day, if you're not trained appropriately, you're not going to provide the best service. As you mentioned, the typical consumer can't tell if the person's been in the business for one day or 10 years. And, when you're dealing with a real estate professional, you really want to get a sense of, what their background is, what their training and their experience is, what tools do they have at their fingertips to really help you make a definitive decision on the price of that home. And if for anyone out there who's looking to have a career in real estate, one of the things I really would urge you, there's a lot of different business models out there. There's the business model that'll pay you, 70% of the commission or 80% of the commission, but the broker doesn't have a lot of money left over to underwrite training and provide them with the appropriate tools. What the broker's done is offset that responsibility to the agent. And many times I find people don't know what they don't know. And so when I sit with our experienced agents at different firms, walking through that we have employees who are working in our training and development department. We've got an employee who helps teach all of our agents on social media and how to market their homes. And so education is really the foundation. And then what kind of support are they going to get from that realtor, and what support is that realtor going to get from their broker, from their partner? And so, when you when you look at it, you want to make sure that any, you know, if you're looking at a career in real estate or you're looking to work with a realtor professional, you want to make sure that they've got good training and good background. You want to make sure they have the tools that, you know, everyone can put a sign on a front lawn, but you want to make sure that if 94% of the people are looking online, that there's a medium broker is putting that house online. And I think kind of case in point, we've had a lot of success with this, is AdWorks, where our realtors get 7,000 impressions. And an impression being, if I list with you, Peter, I know that over the next couple of weeks, anybody in about a 10-mile radius of my home that I'm listing who has expressed some kind of interest in real estate vis-a-vis going to Zillow, Realtor.com, Hunt.com, it's going to show up when I go to CNBC.com or CNN.com or Facebook. It's going to be out there. We're bringing the home to market. So marketing is just crucial. Training, marketing, and having a true understanding of as you said, real estate is hyper-local, and having a very good understanding and being able to articulate that through quantitative models and things of that nature.
And fundamentally, our objective, and I hope it's the objective of every professional industry, is to everyone in our industry, is to make this a positive experience for the consumer, which goes back to our original part of our discussion today, which had to do with the economy more generally. I want our customers to be sure that what they're doing in their interaction with our professionals is doing a good thing for themselves from a financial standpoint, first and foremost. That has to be preceded, though, by the structure and the location and the conditions being right for that family. Assuming that's the first thing on the priority, I found the house I want, or I'm able to sell the house finally and move on. That's number one. But within the context of that, what advice are they getting relative to the value, relative to the condition, relative to the market conditions, et cetera? And that has to come through a far more educated process than just something they might find on a video screen.
Oh, no question. I think House Hunters show on HGTV is perhaps oversimplified what the true buying process is like. We just don't show three homes and you get one. There are a lot of things, and I've said that no one transaction is ever alike. You're always learning something new in real estate. If it's not about septic, it's about electrical systems, knob and tube. You really want to make sure that person guiding you through the process is going to help simplify it for you and take care of it from A to Z.
And that really is the issue, that this professional relationship in our business is far more than just completing a contract or filling out a form or even verifying data. It's far more than that. It is what we hope to be anyway, a lifelong relationship that continues from the point of acquisition to the process of financing, verification of title, insurance, all the things that go into that. And then on a regular basis that we're making sure that homeowner is doing the right things and with whatever advice they may need from us to make sure that investment is a quality investment. Peter Ahrens, Business Development Manager for Hunt Real Estate Corporation, thanks very much for being with me this morning.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.